I'm so glad that all you mothers weren't fathers. We wouldn't have anybody here tonight. I was talking to somebody and they said, we don't have church services on Mother's Day or Father's Day because the pastor believes that they should be at home with their family. Well, what better place to be than bring your family into the house of God? That's really where fathers and mothers need to do on Mother's and Father's Day, is in the house of God learning how to be mothers and fathers, right? Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for what you've done so far and what you're going to do. I thank you for these hungry people, Father, that came out to sit in your presence and sit at your table and be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, all those who you have appointed to be in this place at this given time that could not get here, I'm asking a special blessing to be placed upon them tonight. Bring them to the fullness of your glory, Father. And Father God, for those who travel to come here tonight just to sit in your presence, let your glory fall upon them mightily, Lord, and let them be changed from inside out. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy, mighty name. Amen. You know, God is about his business right now. Do you know that? He's not about your business. He's about his business. And God wants us to do something special. So that's what you're going to teach, be taught tonight. Will you trust in me? Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. And really what this is talking about really is the people being in sin. But God tells them if they'll state their case, he will vindicate them. But tonight, I'm just using this part of the scripture. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Contending is clearly a now word for the body of Christ. And imperative to the advancement of the kingdom of God in this important hour of history. God is awakening our spirits to rise up to contend for our breakthrough, the dreams he has given us for our families and communities, cities and nations, and for his intentions to come forth. Let's read that again. God is awakening our spirits to rise up to contend for our breakthrough, the dreams he has given us for our families and communities, cities and nations, and for his intentions to come forth. God said, I have spoken it and I will do it. In Ezekiel 36:36-38, it says, the nations around you that are still in existence will realize that I, God, rebuild ruins and replant empty waste places. I, God, said so and I'll do it. Message of God. The master, yet again, I'm going to do what Israel asked. Now, this is a message for y'all tonight, all right? I'll increase their population as with a flock of sheep. Like the milling flocks of sheep brought for sacrifices in Jerusalem during the appointed feast, the ruined cities will be filled with flocks of people, and they'll realize that I am God. I want you to go back to verse 37. This is the message of God, the Master. Yet again, I'm going to do what Israel asks. I'll increase their population as with flocks of sheep. God said, if Israel asks, I will do it. This chapter speaks powerfully of Israel's restoration to the land and the abundant outpouring of blessings which God makes clear he plans to release to them. As we are grafted into Israel, these blessings and promises are for us also. The whole word is for us. Each blessing spoken of is with such intention. Each blessing spoken of is with sure intention as something he has predetermined to do. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God has been speaking for over a year now that he wants us to contend with him over our promises, over our prophetic words that he's given us. He has been prophesying that he is going to return 100-fold everything that the canker and palmer worm have stolen. He's also been prophesying that every promise is going to come to pass. But this is what you're going to have to do, what I'm teaching you tonight, before this is going to happen. All right? The Holy Spirit highlighted Ezekiel 36, 36, and 37. First, revealing his determination, he said, I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. What is your, who spoke your prophetic word? God did. And the second, revealing the condition. Thus says the Lord God, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. You have to go before God for him to do it for you. All right? The Hebrew word for inquire means also to seek continually, ask and pursue. Seek continually, ask and pursue. You know, when I was first born again, the word was going out that if you prayed more than one time, you were in doubt and unbelief, and you should never pray but one time and expect God to do it. Well, why don't you let him go, honey, just see what he does? Oh, he wants to go out there, all right. But that is not true. All through God's word, you see where he wants you to contend with him, seek his face, and stay there until you get your answer. God is looking for a people who will be willing to take ownership of his dreams. You know, his dreams are God's dreams, God's desires, and in God's intentions for your life. A people who will tend the dream and travail in union with him to bring it forth. A people who will tend the dream and travail in union with him to bring it forth. A people that would unite with him in mind and in heart for the promise to be released, realized, and the kingdom enforced and advanced. Did you all get that? He's looking for a people who will work with him over with the promises that he's given you. The example that comes to mind is of a father who owned an empire and had two sons. To one son, everything came on a silver platter. Everything he asked for, he was given. He did not have to exert himself for anything. The other son went to work with his father in the company at an early age. He started at the very bottom and worked his way through every department, learning every aspect of the business. He spent time getting to know all the people who worked for his father, building relationship with them. He listened to his father's heart for the company and not only understood his vision for it, but united with his father to see his dream come forth. He united with his father to see the father's dream come forth. When the time comes to hand over the company to his sons, which son will the father put in charge? The one who will protect the company and pursue the vision and contend for its success. The one who paid the cost and travailed for its achievement with his father. And this is what God is going to do in this dispensation. He's going to give those who travailed with him and held on to the promises with him and contended with him until we see them come to pass. In Ezekiel chapter 36, the Father clearly lays out his intentions, places it before Israel, and challenges them to rise up and own the vision. The implication is in verse 37 is that if they take ownership and contend for it, it would be theirs. Are you understanding what God's trying to get through to us tonight? God's dreams are guaranteed for the contenders. The reason why he raises up those with a spirit to contend, to inspire others to contend, to give him no rest until he fulfills what he has promised. God's dreams are guaranteed for the contenders. The reason why he raises up those with a spirit to contend, to inspire others to contend, to give him no rest until he fulfills what he has promised. He raises up leaders who know how to contend and who won't let go until God does a thing that he's promised he's going to do. And then those leaders in turn have to go and encourage others to contend and hold on and keep contending with God until they see their promises come to pass. God says, hold me to my promises. I once heard a leader share a related story. He promised his children that after church, he would take them to their favorite restaurant. The children were very excited. After church, he was asked to attend a leader's meeting and told his children the outing would have to be canceled. However, his children refused to accept this. Are we God's children? He was pummeled over and over with statements of, you said, you promised, until finally he had no choice but to give in. See that? We're his children. He wants us to do the very same thing with him. At that moment, he heard God say to him, I wish that my children would hold me to my promises the way that your children hold you to yours. Our Heavenly Father is looking for those who will not only believe his promises, but who will hold him accountable to his word. You know, so many, we've been taught so often that you just don't do that with God. You don't contend with God. You don't argue with God. You don't get in his face. You know, you just let him be God. But see, that is not what God wants. Luke 18, verse 2. He said, there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him. My rights are being violated. Protect me, she kept telling the judge. He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding. Then the master said, do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet, but how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns? I meant to forget the scripture. It says, will he even find faith when he returns? And, you know, somebody said to me the other day, and I agree with him, I just get so sick and tired of God letting this go on and on and on and on. Well, you know what? It's our fault that it's going on and on and on and on. Because we pray about it, then we forget about it. Then we pray about it, then we forget about it. We have to be persistent in our prayers. The Lord once gave me a vision for something he wanted to do. I was not too thrilled at the idea and was wrestling in my spirit about it, but I said I was willing. As I sat in prayer over it, he reminded me about Ezekiel 36:37, and I understood. I not only agreed to be willing, but I began to pray and ask him for the visions as though it were mine. As I did that, a supernatural exchange took place, and I received joy and passion for this vision to come forth. However, time passed with no breakthrough in that direction. I soon stopped praying and actually forgot about it. One day the Lord spoke clearly to my spirit and said, that was very easy for you to drop the vision. I was convicted and understood that Ezekiel 36:37 meant to pray, ask, and contend for the vision until the breakthrough came. That is the spirit of a contender who will birth the purposes of God on planet Earth, to knock, seek, and ask until the door is opened. You know, God told me to keep my family covered, especially one member of my family, covered in prayer and wrapped in a blanket of blood daily. I did that for a couple months, and then one day I realized I'd stopped it. And when I stopped it is when this person started getting in trouble. See, I easily forgot what God had told me to do and dropped the praying. Well, I picked up the praying again, and I'm hoping that by picking up the praying again, the trouble they got into will be dissolved. But see, it's my fault because I was not doing what God told me to do. God said, number one, God's promises are given not to restrain, but to incite to prayer. They show the direction in which we may ask and the extent to which we may expect an answer. They are the signed check made payable to order, which we must endorse and present for payment. Pray and contend, ask and take. The day must come when we leave the wilderness and begin to take the promised land of God's intentions. God has told us, get out of the wilderness and cross over into the promised land. He's been telling us that for quite some time. And see, we have not yet done that, and that's the reason why we are not seeing the things that God has promised us come to pass. It's because we start praying for something and eventually we just give up. Because after all, nothing's happening, nothing's occurring. So it must not be God's timing. Get out of here. That's not true. The day must come when we... I read that. The world is daily descending into dark times. The light of the glory of his presence will rise upon those who have broken through in contending for the glory. These are the ones being called forth to do exploits in his name. They have travailed with the Father and carry his burden for the lost and for the world. Those who have travailed with him will enter into union with him. They will carry his authority and the strategies to complete his will to save and transform nations and people groups. God does not exclude anyone, any who are willing. Anybody that was willing to contend with God and pray and hold fast that thing, God will answer that prayer. Did you ever think maybe the reason why you don't get it right the first time, you know, get the answer the first time is because God is, your faith is being tested? Your faith does get tested, you know. If God gave you something instantly, you wouldn't have any faith. Remember about 5 years ago, God told me from this point on, it's going to be a total faith walk with you. And he hasn't told me anything different. So everything I do is a total faith walk. Everything that God promises me is a total faith walk. And I have to have faith, and I have to walk it out, and I have to contend with God, and I have to ask, seek, and receive. According to Ezekiel 36:36 and 7:37, first we must ask, we must desire what he desires and receive it in our spirits as our own. You can't ask for something that God is not desiring for your life. Second, we endorse the check and present it for payment. All right, God, here's the check. I've signed it now. I want to get payment for it. We put our finger on his promise and say, as you have said, Lord. As you have said, Lord. You know, if God's promised you a home and you've been seeking and contending and seeking and contending, and then he starts to give you visions of being in a home doing things, I would really contend and contend and contend and contend. I would be like that woman who went to the judge. After all, Lord, you spoke it. Now I'm getting visions. Now I want to be in being in a home. Now I want to be in a home, and I'd like to be in there right now. Amen? Come on. Same with the healing. If you've been seeking a healing and you haven't got your healing and all of a sudden you see visions of you being healed, I'd start contending. Well, I'd be contending anyhow like never before. And I'd even contend harder and say, all right, God, now you've given me a vision of it. Now I want it to happen just like you just showed it. I didn't ask you to show me this. You gave me this vision. Now I want it to happen right now. We put our finger on his promise and say, as you have said, Lord. We hold God to his promises as David did in 1 Chronicles 17:25. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, are God. You have promised these good things to your servant. See, God, David's putting him God in remembrance of what God promised him. Faith is confident action in what God has made known to us. Faith is confident action in what God has made known to us. God cannot bless us beyond our belief. You hear that? And belief will lead to action and action to contending. We really, you know, whenever I was writing this, God said, will they really trust me? Will they really contend with me? Will they really press into me until they weary me to the point that I give in and give them what I've promised them I'm going to give them? See, it's up to each one of us. I'm not holding back your blessing and you're not holding back mine. Each one of us has to walk out our blessing. Job 22, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. God said, you shall declare a thing and it will be established for you. This verse states, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established for you. God is right now decreeing and declaring things over your life. I decree and I declare that my children are drug free. I decree and I declare that my child can speak. I decree and I declare that I have a new building. You know, whatever it is, you decree it and you declare it. You speak it forth. And I wouldn't speak it forth just one time. I'd speak it forth and speak it forth and speak it forth until it comes to pass. To decree a thing is to contend for it. The Hebrew word for decree also means to decide, to make a firm decision, one where we will not waver. See, this is the problem with the body of Christ, including myself. We make a decision, but then we start wavering. We start looking at the situations around about us. We start listening to what the voice of the enemy, and the enemy comes through people, you know. And then next thing you know, we're not even praying about the thing whatsoever. We're just letting it go. The Hebrew word for decree also means to decide, to make a firm decision, one where we will not waver. And the Hebrew word for establish means to rise. This verse closes with, light will shine on your ways. The word light means to be illuminated. The word shine means to glitter, and ways also means the road. So a mature Christian will have learned the discipline of contending through much trial and tribulation and will see the rising of the vision and the dream. Now, I want to stop there because the body of Christ is so guilty of no longer praying the promises of God. We are guilty of just allowing the enemy to come to steal, kill, and destroy. We say, well, no, I don't. Well, yes, you do. In little ways, you do. You have to seek your face, you know, what you're doing inside. You have to understand what you're thinking, what you're decreeing with your lips, and what you're declaring that God is going to do. This is not a small thing I'm hearing God say. This is a very big thing going on in the body of Christ. This is a thing that the body of Christ has got to put into subjection. They've got to take control of it, and they have to start decreeing and declaring and contending with me in order for my promises to be brought forth. Look at David whenever, you know, his wife was pregnant, and the prophet came and told him that the baby was going to die. David did not sit down and take that, did he? He went into sackcloth and ashes, and he fasted, and he prayed and laid on his face until the baby was born. And once the baby was born dead, and what was he doing? He was asking God to let the baby live and not die. And once the baby was born dead, he got up and washed himself and bathed and went out and ate. And the people said, what are you doing? The baby's dead. He said, but that's what God said was going to happen. It's done. It's over with. But he just didn't. I mean, he trusted the prophet, but he was still contending to God to not to allow this to happen. And you know, we might get a prophetic word about one of our children, and you know, instead of us, you know, it might be a bad prophetic word. And so instead of us this is what's going to happen. Why don't we contend with God and see if he might turn that situation around? If he isn't, you haven't lost anything. You haven't lost anything, and through your contending, he might just change his mind and turn it around. That's just like America. You know, some things God told me is going to happen to America 15 or 18 years ago now, and God said, some of this is written in stone and will never be able to be changed. Others can be changed through prayer. But he told me that what was going to happen, that it was written in stone, it was just going to happen. And so the intercessors are out there saying, if we pray about these situations, God will turn them around. Well, I know in my heart what God told me. I know he won't, but that doesn't mean we don't pray. We just keep on praying and just keep praying. You say, well, I'm wasting my time. Well, I don't think so. When we're down on our knees praying to our Father, we never waste our time. All right? And I'm really encouraging each and every person in this room to really, really contend for your families. Because God has said that he's going to bring families together. God has said that our children will, he's going to pull our children in off the streets, and he's going to take the addictions away from them, and they will be in the house of God serving him. It doesn't matter what the enemy's saying to you or even what your children are doing. God has given us a promise that he's going to bring the backsliders back into the house of God. And so, you know, if you have backsliders, and like I do, I just keep praying. I just keep praying and praying and praying. And God's going to bring them home. I know he is. He promised me that. Are you listening? Contend with God. And I want it done now, really, don't you? And I want it done right now. And what God's trying to tell us, He'll do it right now if we do what He's asked us to do. You know, fast, pray, seek His face, knock, seek, find. Contend, decree, declare. These are all guidelines that God has given us in order for things to come to pass within our life. It's like the new building. Every place I went, I'd say, is this a building? Is this a spot? Is this a building? Then I quit doing that. After a fashion over the years, I just quit doing that. So the other night I was going down the road and God said to me, would you like that building? I said, no. He said, well, it's not yours. I just thought, wondered if you still remembered I promised you a building. You know? And so now I know what I have to do. I have to start contending for that building again. See, I just got content in this run-down, ramshackle building. And so God couldn't do anything. He couldn't bring his vision for me to pass because I just became content in what I had. All right, I said that a mature Christian will have learned the discipline of contending through much trial and tribulation and will see the rising of the vision and the dream. The illuminating light of God will light up the road ahead with the glitter of His glory. God's going to light our path. And the glory is going to fall. And God is going to do everything that He's promised us that He's going to do as we contend, as we decree and we declare. It is time for the sons and daughters of God to take the promised land, time to decree, declare, and decree. Esther and Mordecai, now listen to what they did, how they did this. They prayed, they fasted, then they decreed the deliverance of the Jewish people. They prayed, they fasted, then they decreed the deliverance of the Jewish people. There is a form that we have to follow. Take ownership. I am ready to perform my word, is what God said. The Lord is saying, take ownership. The kingdom of God is yours. All that I have belongs to you. Invest in it. With the currency of your faith, purchase stock in it. Set your focus on the eternal, not the temporal. He says, ask large. And he keeps telling me, you don't ask large. You're content with small things. Ask large because I'm a big God and I want to give to you largely. I am a great and mighty God, greater and mightier than you could ever imagine. Though you may try to imagine how great and big God is, you can't ever fathom how great and how big He is. Bring all your appeal and petitions before the court of heaven. Why do you think God gave Brother Brett all this knowledge as he searched the word, all this knowledge about the courtroom of heaven? And it's in the Bible that God takes things so that you bring things into the courtroom of heaven, and God is a judge of those things. That was another tool that we were supposed to be applying to our prayer life. All right, then you could, okay, bring all your appeal and petitions before the court of heaven. The time of fulfillment has come. Show your faith. Give me something to work with. I am ready to perform my word. The time is right now that God wants to fulfill every promise that He's given to His body. Right now. He said this year was restoration year. He wants to restore all that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen. Why won't you allow God to do that? Why won't you allow God to restore everything that this palmer and cankerworm has stolen from you? I want you to ask yourself that question. Are you thinking outside the box or are you still in the box? Are you allowing the enemy to speak things, lies into your ears and you're believing the lies of the enemy and not the promises of God? Why do we not have what God has promised? And God says, because you're not contending with Him. You know, maybe, just maybe, instead of being in the Word, now I didn't say don't read your Word, maybe you need to take an hour and just sit and contend with God. You know, just say, all right, God, it says in your Word I'm supposed to contend with you, and I gave you that scripture. Now I'm sitting here, and this is what you promised me. Then have a list of what He promised you, and then start contending with God about it. You know, I don't know about you, but I get up in God's face. This has been going on long enough. I want this to cease right now, God, because you said it was going to cease. You told me this, 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 and this. And this is how I prayed. And you told me this, 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 and this. And it's still going on. You told me my finance, last year you told me my finances were released and they're still not released. What is going on here, Father? Why are my finances not being released? You know, and so I decree my finances, you know, released. And I contend with God about it. Come on, Father. You said last year they were released. And it still hasn't happened. Maybe I'm still thinking inside the box. Maybe I'm not thinking largely enough. Maybe I quit contending at the point of breakthrough. You know? The enemy can come in and put something else in your mind to get your mind off what you were contending for. And so then now you're contending for something else and you left this other thing go just about the time you're ready to get your breakthrough. And that's how the enemy works. So let's not allow him to work any more works within us. Let's make him stop doing the things that he wants, you know, the enemy. Let's stop letting him do the things he wants to do so God can do the things he promises that he would do. We have to realize that the enemy's not bigger than God. And we have to realize that God's promises are yes and they are amen. And we have to realize that God is working with us, not against us. And we have to realize that God does not give us false hope. He does not give us false hope, never. He gives us promises that are sure, they are strong, and they are yes and amen, and we can carry those to the bank. Amen. God is preparing vessels of glory to stand in the last days, having the fortitude of spirit to withstand the demonic assaults. And like the mountain tree, to thrive in the midst of the swirling and violent winds of change. Now I'm going to explain what a mountain tree is. A mountain tree speaks of elevation. It is a lone tree jutting out from the crest of a very rugged, windswept mountain far above the peaceful forest beneath. You've seen trees like that, haven't you? There is a reward for its singular loneliness and its struggle to survive. It can see here in that place. This lonely, battered tree can view the distant skyline or look up into the expanse of the heavenlies in all their glory. For this mountain tree abides in a pure, clear atmosphere. But there is a price. It has been set apart from all others. So my statement before that was, God is preparing vessels of glory to stand in the last days, having the fortitude of spirit to withstand the demonic assaults, and like the mountain tree, to thrive in the midst of the swirling and violent winds of change. So God is trying to make his people these mountain trees that can contend, that can survive every wow of the enemy. I'm hearing God saying every blast of God's nostrils also. You know, sometimes the things that we're going through, God allows us to go through them because he's trying to make us this strong vessel that others can run into. And let's just face it and let's agree with the fact that not every new person that comes in the house of God has enough faith in them to run to God. They will run to the person that brought them into the house of God and lean on them until you show them Jesus. And so, you know, people really have to have something to hold on to until they can hold on to God. There's not a one of us sitting in here tonight that you instantly was able to hold on to God. The person that was leading you to Christ, you relied on them more than one time. And you sought their face and you sought their guidance until one day you finally was strong enough to stand alone with God without anybody else holding your hand. Genesis 32 says in 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. If you look in the Bible, all strong men of God prevailed with God. They contended with God. They argued with God. They got right down to the nitty gritty of things and they spoke to God. They were not afraid to speak to their father because he was the one that was leading, guiding, and directing them. And when they didn't understand, they had to have answers. But, you know, we get all spiritual. You know, and we just think we don't. God speaks something, even though we don't understand it. You know, we just sit still anyhow, because after all, He's God and He knows what He's saying, and He'll eventually show it to us. Well, He's going to eventually show it to you as you contend with Him. He's eventually going to show it to you as you get on your face and say, God, I really don't understand what you just said to me in this prophetic word. I need you to clarify what you just spoke. And then stay there on your face until God answers you. Excuse me. By that, I mean you just keep going day after day. Just go and sit and seek the face of God. Have your pen and pencil ready, your computer, whatever, your iPhone, whatever these things are, and have it ready so when you hear God, you can write it down, and then it's ever before your face. Then you can say, all right, God, this is what you said. It's right here in black and white. This is what you told me, and this is what I'm holding up before you, and this is what I want to happen, and I want to happen it to happen now. It's time, God, for all the promises in my life. Because God said this was the year. So you're not taking anything to God that God hasn't spoken. Don't ever take anything to God that He hasn't spoken and contend with Him about it. Only take what He's spoken to you to Him and contend with those things. I'm hearing Him say, for some of you, life will come to a very abrupt halt if you soon don't start contending with Him about your promises. You know, you hear all these great swelling words from God, and you go home and you talk about it, and you listen to it over and over again, and then you just sit and you wait. And that isn't how you should do that. Whenever you hear all these great swelling words and all these promises, you should go home, all right, and maybe sit and listen to them, but start contending. Start contending. I'm hearing God say, start contending for your future today. Start bringing what I promised to you to me today. Don't waste another day. Don't let another hour go by without bringing my promises to you before me. He's also saying, I will cancel out the wiles of the enemy as you set before me and contend for the promises that I have given you. In other words, the enemy is holding back your promises. And as long as we allow the enemy to hold him back, we allow the enemy to hold him back because we're not contending. God can't do anything about it. But as we contend, as we go before God, as we decree, as we do everything God's told us to do, knock, seek, find, we're going to receive the promises that God has for us. I'm hearing God say the next couple months are very prevalent to the body of Christ. In the next couple months is whenever I'm going to be restoring the body of Christ back to the rightful place in me. And when I do that, I will restore all that the palmer and cankerworm have stolen. But if you're not contending, if you're not seeking my face, you're not going to find me and you're not going to get what I have promised you. Are you listening here? This is a very vital time in our walk with God. And because of the changes that are going on in the atmosphere and because of what's going on in the governments and in the money situation, this is a, you know, how many of you, I don't raise your hand, but just to yourself, how many of you has God said your finances are free? Then you better start contending because the money market's about ready to drop out, the bond about ready to fall out, and you better start contending to get your finances free right now. Or you're going to fall through the hole. Fall through the loop, and it won't happen. My children, I am not a God that I should lie. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I have promised this church that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would continually be with this church. But because your eye has not been single and because you've allowed the enemy to have you look this way and that way, I have not been able to fulfill all the promises that I have spoken over each one of your lives. And I'm asking you tonight to make your eye single this night. Let your eye be single and allow me to do the things that I have promised you I would do. Allow me to destroy the works of the palmer and the cankerworm. Allow me to bring into fruition all those promises that I have given you, for my promises are surely yes and amen. Allow me to take the enemy's hand off of your purse, off of your checkbooks. Allow me to make the enemy loose your money. Give me the privilege and the honor to work freely. Come to me and contend with me and give back to me the words that I have spoken to you. And when you do this, at that very point, at that very instant, I, the Lord thy God, I will send angelic hosts forth to start doing the things that I promised you I would do in your life. There is a multitude, a multitude of sinners out there awaiting for you to be set free so you can go forth and do the great and mighty miracles that I have promised you you would see. For this is the day and the stage is set for great signs, wonders, and miracles to begin to happen. And I want to, and I have promised each one of you, and I want to use each one of you to do the great signs, wonders, and miracles. My children, do not ever touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. But you go forth and you seek my face about your situations. Don't be concerned about everybody else's situations. You be concerned about your situations, because each one of you should be contending on your own behalf. Each one of you know what I have promised you. You know it personally. Now you bring those things to the throne of grace, and then you watch me work on your behalf. Much has been spoken, but little has been done, and it's all because of the faith of my body. My body has no faith in the word that I speak to them. They hear it, they listen to it, and then they easily forget it. But if they would just have faith and believe and trust me, I would bring everything I've spoken. Every word has life in it. And I would bring every word that I've spoken to life. And I would set my captives free. Now I say to this body this night, this is your chance and this is your season to receive all that I have promised you. Bring it before my face. Bring it into the courtroom even. And let's contend with this. Let me judge between thee and the enemy. Let me be the judge of what the enemy is holding up and what you're holding up. For some things you're blaming on the enemy is not the enemy's fault, it is your fault. You bring those situations to the courtroom and allow me to be your judge and allow me to set you totally and completely free. This is a season I have been talking about for decades now. This is a season of the transition. This is a season of the great change. This is a season of the mantles being released to my people. And I want to release my mantles to you people even this night. I want to give you a fresh insight into my kingdom. I want the restoration to begin in your lives tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight. So as you said in my presence, give me the privilege and the opportunity to start the restoration. Give me the opportunity to pour out upon you your blessings that I have promised you, and give me the opportunity to be your Father and your King to the end of the ages. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And God's saying, look around about you. It is not a strange thing that there are so few here. Because those that are not here are those who are battling against me. They are not working on their own behalf, but they're battling against me through their doubt and their unbelief. They do not have the same agenda that I have. And therefore, I've kept them out tonight because I wanted just you group to hear what I had to say tonight. You are the ones who have been faithful, you have been true, and you have been just in your walk with me. And you are the ones that I'm going to use in this end time hour to send forth and to bring in the harvest.